Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Friday, June 30th, 2023. South Sudanese Catholic bishops say they are worried about the fate of thousands of civilians trapped in cities across Sudan.
A lot of human rights have been violated. There is a lot of killing, looting, and raping, destruction of hospitals, and destruction of sources of water.
And some activists are calling on the South Sudan government to allow asylum seekers from Sudan to settle anywhere in South Sudan.
They are citizens, and they should enjoy all the rights. It is not only the professionals. Even the normal Sudanese should enjoy the right of all freedoms. In fact, it is an added value to us, the people of South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudanese and South Sudanese Catholic bishops are calling on the international community to stop the fighting in Sudan. The church leaders say the ongoing fighting in parts of the Sudan has affected thousands of people. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from the capital, Juba.
The Catholic bishops spoke to reporters Friday after their three-day conference in Juba. The Archbishop of the Metropolitan Diocese of Juba, Stephen Ameyu, who spoke on behalf of the Sudan and South Sudanese bishops, says the meeting touched on several issues, including the situation in Sudan. Ameyu says the Catholic Church is worried about the faith of millions of Sudanese caught up in the ongoing fighting between the Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces.
We see that a lot of human rights have been violated. There is a lot of killing, looting, and raping, destruction of hospitals, and destruction of several services that are given to human people, but also the destruction of the sources of water, food, and electricity has affected the people of Sudan.
The Archbishop says at least 2,000 people were killed and more than a million others have fled to South Sudan, Egypt, Chad, and Ethiopia. Ameyu is calling on the international community to use appropriate methods for resolving and rein on the military leaders to end the conflict in Sudan through dialogue.
As we experience this setback in Sudan, we must pray for peace and tranquility in Sudan. But also we urge the international body to pressurize the two parties in the conflict in order to bring peace to the people of Sudan.
The church leaders also reminded the government of South Sudan to end violence across the country.
We are aware this revitalized peace agreement has given some glimpse of peace to the people of South Sudan. But we are also aware that there is a stagnation in the implementation of peace. We are aware that the president several times have already mentioned that he will not take the country to war. But to our knowledge, the implementation has been exceptionally very slow.
Ameyu calls on the transitional government of national unity to demonstrate candid political will by implementing the revitalized peace agreement in letter and spirit. For VOA News, Zamwake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still in Sudan, the International Committee of the Red Cross facilitated the release of 125 members of the Sudan Armed Forces detained by the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces since conflict broke out in Khartoum. ICRC's operation coordinator in Sudan says the parties to the conflict requested ICRC to transport the released soldiers by bus from Khartoum to Wad Medeni, where they can join their relatives. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Juba.
Martin Tom, the ICRC operations coordinator in Sudan, says Rapid Support Forces field commanders in Khartoum approached his office and requested for help in transporting about 125 members of the Sudan Armed Forces who were under RSF's custody. Tom says the detainees requested a family reunion. He says ICRC is a neutral intermediary mandated globally to protect the lives, dignity of victims of armed conflict and violence, and to provide them with assistance. He added that ICRC received concern from both parties before transporting the released members of the Sudan Armed Forces to their relatives.
We got the green light from both sides, and we're finally able to do this difficult operation in the very center of Khartoum.
ICRC says verifying detainees held by both warring parties in Sudan remains a challenge. Tom added that 44 wounded soldiers were among the released members of the Sudan Armed Forces.
The health conditions of these released soldiers were according to what they went through. As you might know, the fighting started mid-April, and some of them spent weeks in captivity. But all were checked by our medical doctors and declared fit for travel.
Early this week, the ICRC also facilitated the release of 14 wounded people detained in Al-Fashir of North Darfur State. Tom says the journey of 124 miles from Khartoum to Ed Medeni was very challenging due to the many roadblocks set up by both the Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary rapid support forces.
It took several hours to drive down there because of checkpoints and difficult terrain. Finally, in the evening, we reached the destination. We were able to hand over these 125 men to the Sudanese Armed Forces and their medical services.
He says ICRC ensures that humanitarian principles are respected and detainees are treated with humanity throughout the release and transfer process. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
The United Nations says the conflict in Sudan, which began on April, has forced about 2.5 million people from their homes, with about 80% of them being internally displaced persons. Sid Ahmed Ibrahim spoke with some of those who have been displaced and are living in Sudan's Al Jazeera state. VOA's Vincent Macori narrates the story.
A large number of people displaced by the conflict in Sudan have been fleeing Khartoum and going to Al Jazeera State, located in the east central region of the country. A teacher at a school in South Khartoum, Leila Al-Rashid, is one of those who escaped the capital. She says she was forced to seek shelter in Wad Madani camp, the capital of Al Jazeera State, due to relentless bombing in Khartoum. Al-Rashid now lives here with her niece, who gave birth in the camp.
The current situation is completely unstable. We've been suffering due to the insecurity since the beginning of the war, and now we're living in a very difficult living situation. Everything's gone now. We're suffering greatly from the disaster. We don't know what to do.
Al Jazeera State now shelters tens of thousands of displaced people in facilities that were previously schools, universities, and mosques, according to aid agencies. Most of these institutions turned shelters are run by civilians and other humanitarian organizations, but some with medical conditions, like Babu Ali Ismail, say they lack medical care.
I had missed a number of dialysis sessions. When I had run out of all the medicines, the situation became dangerous for me. I came to Wad Madani to find a dialysis center. I live now in this school, which has turned into a shelter.
Sinahid Hussein, a resident of Khartoum, fled the city to give birth in Wad Madani after experiencing what she calls the horrors of war in the capital city.
The war forced us to leave our city. I was pregnant and placed here in a shelter. I left Khartoum because there were no hospitals there. We stayed for days under bombardment. Then we left after 2 weeks to the city of Wad Madani. Here, I receive full care from the officials of the center, and they provide me with a doctor's appointment.
Humanitarian organizations and civilian volunteers running the temporary shelters say they face shortages in supplies. One camp supervisor, Abdallah Hamad Al-Nin, says their operation is mainly funded by donations from residents in the area.
We receive aid through the efforts of citizens and some organizations to provide the camp's needs like flour, rice and oil. We have a warehouse to store supplies and we have a large kitchen to prepare food for families, some of whom help us in cooking. We also desperately need medicines because we have a large number of diabetics and blood pressure patients, in addition to cancer patients and pregnant women who need special medicine.
In the meantime, displaced people hope some semblance of peace will return to Sudan and relieve their current predicament. For Sid Ahmed Ibrahim in Al Jazeera State in Sudan, Vincent McCorry, VOA News.
Some analysts monitoring Sudan say it might take an international-supported peacekeeping force to end the ongoing fighting there. That assessment follows multiple failed ceasefire attempts and talks facilitated by Saudi Arabia and the United States. VOA's Mariama Diallo has the story from Nairobi.
Until 2 weeks ago, Hala Al-Karib was living in Khartoum. She's the regional director of the Strategic Initiative for Women in the Horn of Africa. She and other colleagues have had to relocate because of the war within and outside Sudan. Among all the horrors of war, she and others also have had to deal with looting.
I would say more or less, 75% or more of Khartoum inhabitants, they have experienced lootings. Our homes were completely looted. Our vehicles, our personal properties, our papers, and documents were destroyed and burned.
She says the strategy for the rapid support forces run by General Hamdan Dagalo is not new.
The presence, on the ground, inside residential areas, being in Khartoum or being in Al-Fashir or being in Niala or what happened in Junaina, the RSF strategy is to run a war, from within and inside, civilians' residency. Of course, the RSF are the extension of the Janjaweed. Have been done for over 20 years in rural Darfur, mm-hmm. Where villagers were terrorized and, infrastructures was completely destroyed.
As for the Sudanese armed forces led by General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, Al-Karib says they enabled the RSF to flourish.
SAF, unfortunately, they were for years, relying on the RSF to do the dirty work. And they were complacent and enabled, these criminal organizations to grow. And right now it grew to the point that, it's not a risk against them. It actually threatened the existence of overall Sudan as a state.
She says it's unfortunate the international community is not exerting sufficient pressure on countries that could help end the war.
75% of the causes of this war lies outside of Sudan. UAE, definitely, and their significant support to the RSF. Egypt and their positions anti any type of democratic governance in Sudan, and so that constantly puts them in a position where they support, SAF, Sudan Armed Forces, as potential, rulers.
A sentiment partly echoed by Dr. Edgar Githua, a lecturer at the United States International University and Strathmore University.
The African Union and the world in general, looking at this situation, needs to, step up. Need to actually just call out Russia, tell Russia, pull out the Wagner group, get it out. Egypt, I think it's an easier group to deal with. The US has a lot of leverage with Egypt. Libya, Hafiz Khalifa can be told to back down also. And the UAE can be told to back off.
Some of the countries mentioned offered to mediate the crisis and denied involvement in the war. Githua says the international community has to change strategy.
Like they're coming to the battlefield with renewed vigor. And of course, the people who are suffering are the Sudanese people. I have a feeling the world has no choice. At some point, there's got to be some external intervention. And the external intervention from me will be either a peacekeeping force that creates a humanitarian corridor to just try and restore normalcy.
The Jeddah talks, overseen by the United States and Saudi Arabia, have recently been suspended. And the most recent offer by the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, to mediate the crisis has also stalled because one of the generals said he didn't want the Kenyan president leading the group that is made up of South Sudan, Djibouti, Ethiopia, and Somalia. And that's a problem, says Macharia Munene, professor of history and international relations at USIU in Nairobi.
One of the generals, Baram, has said he doesn't want anything to do with him. So he's going away and prefer Salva Kiir. Yes, the team is the NIGAD team. It's supposed to be the lead. To lead the team. But if one of the participants, the major player, doesn't want anything to about him leading the team, there's something wrong.
For now, fighting is showing no signs of letting up. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Nairobi.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some rights watchdogs in South Sudan say the Kiir administration should give Sudanese refugees freedom. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how can you promote tourism within your country amongst your fellow citizens?
By sponsoring or organizing trips for schools and others, because there are some people who don't have money to go to such places.
Telling people about how our culture and history is, through that I can promote.
By having friendly activities available, like affordable costs of travel, food and accommodation.
Maybe by posting on the social media about the tourism activities happening in the country, as well as the places that people can visit. Places I know, such as some in Mangochi, maybe in Mulanje, by putting that on the social media.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Some activists in South Sudan are calling on their government to allow Sudanese refugees integrate into local communities. One activist says the agreement on four freedoms signed by the two countries in 2012 should be applicable to Sudanese refugees fleeing the conflict in their country. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
The Four Freedoms Agreement allows citizens of both Sudan and South Sudan freedoms of residence, movements, economic activities, and purchase of property. Edmond Yakani, Executive Director for the Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, urges the Kiir administration to implement the cooperation agreement.
I know international law allows them to live in refugees camp, but it's very important that if we can integrate professional fellow brothers and sisters from Sudan in our public sector, specifically the teaching sector and the medical sector, but also we hope that Sudanese should enjoy the private sector without any form of legal restriction.
Luka Byong is a former minister in the office of President Kiir, who now teaches at the Institute of Peace, Development and Security Studies at the University of Juba. He says the Sudanese refugees should be accorded fair treatment.
For me, they are not refugees. They are citizens, and they should enjoy all the rights. It is not only the professionals. Even the normal Sudanese should enjoy the right of all freedoms. In fact, it is an added value to us, the people of South Sudan. And there is no any other time that we will show solidarity and to stand by our brothers and sisters in Sudan, except to embrace them and give them the best of hospitality.
Agostino Deng, another civil society activist with the South Sudan Youth Peace and Development Organization, says Sudanese refugees can offer several services in various institutions and sectors in South Sudan.
Yes, they are in conflict. We used to be in conflict and we used to take refuge with them.
and they were giving us all this support. Then why can we not give it back to them than being selfish?
Ding Dao Ding, South Sudan's foreign affairs minister, says the government's priority is to settle refugees fleeing violence in Sudan. He says the four freedoms cannot be implemented while Sudan is at war.
They are running away from this war. And as you run away from war, you have a lot of things that you miss. The president and the government have decided to keep our door open for those who are running away from the war. With respect to all the agreement in 2012, these are agreements that can be implemented when Sudan is peaceful, and there are level ground where we discuss.
Dao says while the government welcomes all asylum seekers, it will not allow those entering the country with weapons. He says the government is concerned about South Sudan's territorial integrity. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.
And now for some U.S. news. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled against race-based admissions to colleges and universities Thursday, ending a decades-long policy intended to increase diversity in American higher education. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more.
The U.S. Supreme Court ended a decades-long policy of allowing consideration of race in college and university admissions by a 6-3 vote Thursday. So they're talking. In a case brought by the group Students for Fair Admissions, who accused Harvard University and the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, of discriminating against students based on race. President Joe Biden said the decision should not change the goal of equality in higher education.
They should not abandon their commitment to ensure student bodies of diverse backgrounds and experience that reflect all of America.
But for many advocates, some of whom say they were personally impacted by affirmative action, the decision is welcome.
The color of your skin should have nothing to do about it. So if colleges continue to judge applicants based in part on their racial demographics, we are becoming a less just country and a more prejudicial country.
Affirmative action, a policy of considering the racial and ethnic backgrounds of students applying for higher education, has been in place since the 1960s. The goal had been to boost the chances of admission for students whose racial or ethnic background has left them with fewer opportunities for a good education. Analysts tell VOA the decision will have an immediate impact.
We can expect to see about a 10% drop in Black and Hispanic enrollment at the most highly selective institutions in the country, the types of institutions that would consider race because they're engaging in sort of a competitive application.
In the majority opinion, Chief Justice John Roberts said eliminating racial discrimination means eliminating all of it. Supporter of Supreme Court decision, Jesse Park.
It's a fair outcome to have equal consideration for every student, regardless of race.
But the three justices in the minority said ending race-based admissions would increase inequality. One Harvard University graduate testified to the Supreme Court that racial identity cannot be removed from a student's life experience.
I would not have been able to tell the full story of who I am without the context of race and ethnicity. And I'll add on as well that I feel a really deep sense of pride in who I am as a Chinese American, as an Asian American. I think that's an important part of my story.
In a June 2023 Yahoo News YouGov poll, 41% of Americans surveyed said they supported colorblind admissions policies. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
We'd love to hear your remarks on some of the issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Take it away, Nabil.
Thank you, John. We begin with these voice notes our listeners sent us.
Daniel Dun, my dog, is my name from Rumbek. I'm happy when I heard the top of budget has been signed in South Sudan by President Salva Kiir. Very unfortunate, the civil servant is still not demanding the top up budget due to the lack of information by those of financial in the country. I urge government officials to follow the orders from the president. Sam.
Hello, VOA. I am a caller, Jet Michael, in Port Town, Jonglei State. Concerning the leadership crisis in the Episcopal Church of South Sudan, I would like to urge the government of South Sudan in general and Honorable Michael Makwei, the Minister of Information in particular, to stay away from the church affairs. South Sudan is a secular state. That means separation of religion from the state affairs. Let religious issues be solved by religious leaders and political issues by politicians. Justin Arama, the leader of Anglican Church, must be given the space to solve the rebellion created by Akurdi Dengong in his own style. Thank you very much.
Hello, John and Nabil. As people celebrate Eid al-Adha, I strongly urge our people to live in peace, respect each other, move and do their business with the full sense of humility as the time of sacrifices. African people should love themselves. So Sudanese in particular love themselves and move on with their life, because it is upon us to believe in ourselves and do what is good for us in building our nation, loving our communities, our society, and promoting peace among ourselves.
Dwell Koryom Lingling from Juba says, hello VOA, the crisis in the Republic of Sudan is directly affecting the government and the people of the Republic of South Sudan, not only on the risks of the oil pipeline, but mostly the vast population of the South Sudanese in the Sudan. He says, now that South Sudanese are returning home, they're experiencing looting and rape on their way. I therefore urge our Sudanese brothers to create the safest corridors for our people who are returning home. I equally urge my South Sudanese brothers and sisters to peacefully coexist with the Sudanese people displaced by war from their country. Thanks. This listener says, hello, John, Tanza, and Nabil Biagio. I am Alisu Seme Richard from Yei of Central Equatorial State. What the Kakwa elders did from the Kakwa conference in Yei is one of the wise ideas to reunite all Kakwas of Congo, Uganda, and South Sudan. May God bless all Kakwas in the world. Love and hospitality is first.
Keep your comments coming and we shall sample some of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +12026308011. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with Ahmed Brema and the song Juba Alish. Listening to Ahmed Brema and the song Juba Alish. I'm your host John Tanza on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer Patrick there, we wish you a good weekend. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.